So our topic today has to do with an article. Actually, Lydia found this article on entrepreneur.com. We love to go there. I love, because I love working with entrepreneurs. And, of course, you know, all network marketers are entrepreneurs. You have your own business. So how big and important is that? So congrats if you didn't know you were an entrepreneur. You recognize yourself as such. But there's an article on the entrepreneur.com called 22 Qualities That Make a Great Leader. And, of course, what is so important about us, each and every one of us, we want to be a great leader, whether you're in Manatech or not. If you have children, you need to be a great leader. If you're in any kind of organization, you want to be a great leader. If you want to be a person of influence, you need to be a great leader. I mean, there's just 101 reasons why you want to be a great leader, because we're all in leadership roles in one way or another. Even though some of you are shy and don't like to talk or don't like to be at the front of the room, let me tell you, one of my greatest experiences in leadership was leading from the back. I was at a personal development seminar, and I decided one day, I said, you know, Mary Jo, I want to open the room up for others to excel and be on front stage. So, which is something I always strove to be on stage. A lot of you know me and you know my personality. So that didn't seem unlike Mary Jo, but you know, it was like 15, 20 years ago, and I just said, you know what, I want to just appreciate other people getting on stage, and I'll stand in the back of the room or be in the back of the room and be kind of a support network for that. And you know what, at the end of this 7-day, or I think it was 6 or 7 day, you know, personal development event, I'll never forget that I was picked as either the top or second place prize in, I don't remember which one, in terms of leadership. And I never was on stage. Isn't that a wonderful thing? So know that no matter where you are, you need to exhibit leadership traits. And because that's the way other people will follow you. And why do we want other people to follow us? Because we have some information or knowledge that they don't have. And you're going to say, well, Mary Jo, I just started Manatech. And I said, well, you know what? You have more knowledge than the person who hasn't started yet. So take that, but always be working on yourself. Always be working on yourself and developing the characteristics of a great leader, because that's what will make a huge difference in every aspect of your life, not just Manatech. So let's focus on, they gave 22 qualities, so it's going to take us some time. I'm going to spend about a minute and a half reading the quality. Everything in italics in here is a quote from a leader. So you're going to get a quote on that characteristic. You know, you got 22 characteristics, a quote from a leader. And then the B under each of the paragraphs is something I just wrote to support the characteristic. And I could have gone on for, you know, done 22 talks on each one of these characteristics, but let's just wrap this up in one talk. So you can kind of, and as I'm going through this, I want you to just get a highlighter. And when you see something that you feel, wow, that's something I really need to work on, circle it. Because there's so much more behind each and every one of these characteristics. This is kind of like an overview of 22 characteristics or qualities that make a great leader. So number one, focus. And here's the quote. It's been said that leadership is making important but unpopular decisions. That's certainly a partial truth, but I think it underscores the importance of focus. To be a good leader, you cannot major in minor things. Underline that. You cannot major in minor things. Many of us do that because we end up, we look at a minor thing and we feel really comfortable or confident in it, so we stick to that. You can't afford to do that as a leader. You must be less distracted than your competition. To get the few critical things done, you must develop incredible selective ignorance. Otherwise, the trivial will drown you. How many of us can see that happening in our lives, right? So right now, if we're looking at focus as critical for us, what are the two things we're focusing on? I mean, to me, the two biggest things right now in my life are manifest, okay, and getting as many people as I can to get there. Also, I didn't put down on my list, Achievers Club is critically important to me, so I'm really driving my people to become achievers because I want them in that club as recognition, acknowledgement that you're an Achievers Club. And then the next one is the Costa Rica trip. Because that is not, you know, this isn't just a boat trip to Alaska or to, you know, Bahamas or something like this. Costa Rica is a phenomenal location that most of us have never been to. So we want to win big, and the way we win big is that we bring people with us. So you get a group of people together that fight for this trip, and you will almost automatically go because they'll be growing their businesses. And when your organization, as a leader, when your organization has a lot of dynamics going on and other people are growing, what happens to your DPV? Exactly, it grows. So focus, number one. Two, confidence. A leader instills confidence in followership by having a clear vision, showing empathy, and being a strong coach. As a female leader, to be recognized, I feel I have to show up with swagger and assertiveness, yet always try to maintain my Southern upbringing, which underscores kindness and generosity. The two work well together in gaining respect. So confidence. Locate where you have doubts. This is my comment to you. Where you have doubts and work on gaining confidence. So where are the categories I need to really work on? If you have a lack of or doubts around the compensation plan, then get some work on that. If you have some doubts around some of the products, work on that. If you don't understand M5M, go to their website and learn a little bit about that so you have that heart and passion, you can describe it. You build a tribe around you to help you as no road is worth going on by yourself, and others, too, may have doubts. So building that tribe is important. Your tribe consists of upline, downline, crossline. Encourage others, and this alone encourages you. By encouraging others, you'll encourage you. Number three, transparency. I've never bought into the concept of wearing the mask. As a leader, the only way I know how to engender trust and buy-in from my team and with my colleagues is to be 100% authentically me. I highlight that, 100% authentically me. So as goofy as Mary Jo can be sometimes, that's still, Lydia just said very good. That's still me. Open, sometimes flawed, but always passionate about our work. It has allowed me the freedom to be fully present and consistent. They know what they're getting at all times, no surprises. Okay, that's from Carrie Potts at from ESPN. So what am I suggesting here is admit your mistakes, make it okay so others can move forward as well. Transparency is about just, you know, we try to hide. When we do something wrong, we try to hide it because we're just used to that. Maybe as a child, we didn't want to get reprimanded. But, you know, there's a beauty around you being able to admit mistakes to your own organization because then they don't have to feel bad about their mistakes. So it's about giving people freedom to express and to be able to step into something greater and understanding. Here's the big thing. Mistakes are just build clarity on your path forward because you found different ways where it didn't work, right? It's you're eliminating outside ways of approaching your business. So I tell people mistakes are a good thing. They don't always agree with me. But that's my perception. Anyway, number four, integrity. Our employees are a direct reflection of the values we embody as leaders. If we're playing from a reactive and obsolete playbook of needing to be right, the need to be right, there's that awful thing that runs so many of people in this world, instead of doing what's right, then we limit the full potential of our business and lose quality talent. If you focus on becoming authentic in all your interactions, that will rub off on your business and your culture, and the rest takes care of itself. So what does that mean for us? If we lose our word, we lose everything. We are our word. A moral compass is critical and never vary from it. So always step into authenticity. Be real with people. And the realness is in hardships and in strengths. Be real. Just be authentic in all your interactions because you want the rest of the people to be authentic back, right? You don't want to live in an environment where you can't trust people. Trust is one of my three most important core values because I believe trust is at the basic core of any solid foundational relationship. So if you don't have trust, how do you have relationship? And that's a hard thing for me to see how I can live a life without relationship. Five, inspiration. People always say I'm a self-made man. But there's no such thing. Leaders aren't self-made. They are driven. I arrived in America with no money or any belongings besides my gym bag, but I can't say I came with nothing. Others gave me great inspiration and fantastic advice, and I was fueled by my beliefs and an internal drive and passion. That's why I'm always willing to offer motivation to friends or strangers on Reddit. I know the power of inspiration, and if someone can stand on my shoulders to achieve greatness, I'm more than willing to help them up. Wow. Great quote, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Find what inspires you most and focus on that. Share your inspiration with others always, because being inspired is one step, but the most important thing you do with your inspirational self is to go out and inspire others, right? It's called share the wealth. Share your inspiration with others. It's what will definitely just like, it accelerates, you know, at a geometric rate when you start pushing that inspiration out. So others will acknowledge that different people are inspired by different aspects and different things of our business. So when you find something that really, you listen to people and you hear what intrigues them, what they're interested in and what their needs are, you can inspire them in a direction that will truly have them be inspired in working in Manatech. Because some people are out there, they just love M5M. Other people love the business model. They're just out there to make money because they're inspired. But find out what's inspiring them to have money. Because having money in and of itself is nothing. It does nothing. It just sits there. It's dirty paper. So there's something they want to use with that money. So you want to find out what that is. 6, passion. You must love what you do. In order to be truly successful at something, you must obsess over it and let it consume you. No matter how successful your business might become, you're never satisfied and constantly pushed to do something bigger, better, and greater. You lead by example, not because you feel like it's what you should do, but because it is your way of life. Pretty cool. If you have a lack of passion, I'm going to suggest you'll always have 101 reasons not to move forward. Because if you're not passionate, especially in this business, because in this business you're going to get 9 no's for every 1 yes, right? So if you don't have passion about it, if you don't have passion about Ambertose or glycobiology, you don't know how many times I talked about glycobiology on this trip. And I was on the trip about glycobiology. So it was a marketing trip, and, you know, people would ask me questions. They saw that I had nutrition in my background. And I just talked about this breakthrough science that totally changed my family's life. And I share it with the world because of that. You know, it's exciting to talk about a breakthrough. It's exciting to talk about what's going on in the glycobiology realm today. But, you know, have a passion about it. You guys, we have something really special, and we need to be passionate about it. Lead with it, yeah, right? It's emotional. It's living life on purpose, what truly drives us. 7, innovation. In any system with finite resources and infinite expansion of population, like your business or like all of humanity, innovation is essential for not only success but also survival. The innovators are our leaders. You cannot separate the two. Whether it is by thought, technology, organization, innovation is our only hope to solve our challenges. Wow. Always be creative. And thank goodness for Manatech. I mean, they're constantly creating new products and new ideas. And that's why, again, why we go to Manifest, because all this new stuff comes out and it's so hot right off the press. We want to jump in the moment, right? New presentation, new ways, new approaches. The world around us is rapidly changing, and our approaches of yesterday will not work today. So Manifest this year. And because Manifest this year, here's another great thing about this innovation and stuff for us, because this year it's not international. It's North America, and it's only U.S. and Canada. Mexico's having their own. So you're really dealing with English-speaking people from all over Canada and the United States coming to this Manifest. So what a huge blessing this is. It's something special for us. Because we don't have to worry about 18,000 translations. You won't be on stage going through recognition of, you know, 1,000 Koreans. Yeah, I mean, some of us, because they're just growing so quickly over there. They're the ones that amass the stage and advancements. But it's great for us to be, you know, at Manifest this year and get all the new things that are coming, all the innovation. And we're blessed to have this scientific advisory board and Dr. Nugent always formulating new products and new marketing materials to come out. So innovation is crucial, crucial. Patience, 8. Patience is really a courage that's meant to test your commitment to your cause. The path to great things is always tough, and no one can tell you it's not in network marketing. It is tough. You're going to have a bumpy ride. But the best leaders understand when to abandon the cause and when to stay the course. If your vision is bold enough, there will be hundreds of reasons why it can't be done and plenty of doubters. A lot of things have to come together: external markets, competition, financing, consumer demand, and always a little luck to pull off something big, right? And we're the same with Manatech. When we're running our Manatech business, honestly, you guys, there's a little bit of luck that goes along with it. I mean, but, you create your own luck, if that makes some sense to some of you. I remember when I was driving my business and I came across a chiropractor and he said, well, Mary Jo, why don't we talk to the head of the International Chiropractic Association, the ICA? And I was like, whoa. I'd never used a chiropractor in my life. So I was in this midst of this whole thing. But, you know, I just said, you know, I'm ready to go. And it took patience. It took them 1 year examining the science and everything else, and they finally endorsed glycobiology, the ICA. And they took me on tour for a year speaking at chiropractic conventions. I mean, that's luck, but it's because patience. I didn't give up on it. I stuck with it. It didn't take up all my time. I just spent a few hours a week on it, but it was worth every bit of the time and energy because it drove my business in a huge way. So we fall into those things sometimes, and it's great that we get it. So it's about starting a new project. Give it time to work. You know, don't have impatience. Impatience is killer. You know, we expect it to work tomorrow. I want to invest in something. I want it to work tomorrow. Wrong. It's not what happens. It takes time. It takes energy. You got to tweak and make course corrections. They're always needed. You give a person time to figure out where they want it to be, you know, when everybody's different in this business. That's what's so fun about network marketing. I have some people that just want to take products. I have other people that just want to make $500. They're just, you know, so we're working on AQ team. That's all they want to do. I just want to make that $500. I want to pay off my student loan debt. Super. Let's go after it. Let's make it happen. So that's fun. All of it's a joy. Whatever it is, it's a joy. And so we just do that. Making good choices is what you're working for. Sometimes taking away the offer is what creates their wanting it badly enough. That's another thing. When you're working with people, you have patience with them. Sometimes just removing the offers, we want to press so hard and we want people to close in the first 5 seconds they hear Manatech. That's not patience. So we need patience in that realm as well. Number 9 was wonkiness. And this is a weird one because I couldn't even figure out what wonkiness was for the quote. So I just went on with data. Understanding the underlying numbers is the best thing I've done for my business. Okay, this is the quote from Sol Orwell, co-founder of Examine.com. Understanding the underlying numbers is the best thing I've done in my business. As we have a subscription-based business, the biggest impact on our bottom line was to decrease our churn rate. What is churn rate? We have the same in Manatech. When you bring in 10 associates, you lose 9 and you got to go out and churn and you find 9 more. Follow me? That's called churning, right? Because you're losing people as fast as you're adding them. Being able to nudge that number from 6% to 4% meant a 50% increase in the average customer's lifetime value. We would not have known to focus on this metric without being able to accurately analyze our data. So in looking at data, right, and looking at Manatech, we know that 9.5 years is the average time people stay on the product. So, oh my gosh, why is it there's people out there, I mean, I saw them at the presidential summit in San Diego, some people I haven't seen all year, they never are on any calls, they're not actively doing Manatech, but they're still rolling in the dough because they built the business and their retention rate is, what, 9.5 years. So even if your business, if you're not adding people, you're going to be shrinking, no question about it, because they're going to be fallout. But the idea that you have 9.5 years, the average time people stay on the products, is off the charts great. So a great customer service program serves everybody. We still want to serve all these people. But the interesting thing about this, you know, data is you need to know that it takes about 10 contacts, 10 presentations, 10 interactions with people to typically register one or two people. Some people have a higher sign-up rate, but that's kind of average for Manatech, okay? And that's average across the base for network marketing companies as well. So you, when you approach your business, have an expectation. You know, probably 8 out of 10 people you talk to will say no. It'll help you get through the no's and find the yeses, right? In fact, there's a great book out there, Go for No. It says just keep celebrating every time you get a no because you're that much closer to a yes, right? So that's a wonkiness, yeah? 10, stoicism. It's inevitable. We're going to find ourselves in some real, and they used a cuss word there, so I deleted it. I didn't put it, I didn't even allow it to be in my outline. Some real bad situations, whether they're costly mistakes, unexpected failures, or unscrupulous enemies. And I would say unscrupulous other network marketing companies, because there are plenty of those. They'll represent anything to steal your people. Stoicism is, at its core, accepting and anticipating this in advance. So it's about understanding there's going to be under attack. And we know that. A lot of us, by our faith, we know there's always attack out there, and we know it exists. And it's just making sure that we don't lose our emotional state over being under attack. We're able to handle it. We're able to manage the threats that approach us and the things that happen in this business. You don't freak out. You don't overreact. You don't get further aggravation, because then you're adding fuel to the fire of regression. You want to just keep on trucking. Train our minds, consider the worst case scenarios, and regulate our unhelpful instinctual responses. That's how we make sure bad situations don't turn into fatal resolutions, right? So I talk about it from, you know, every time we get negative, boy, if there's negativity around us, don't fall into the traps. Don't fall into the traps. You want to consider, we can always have tough situations that arise, but, you know, have instinctual responses to it. You know what? That happens. Some people say poop happens, right? And they move on, the next thing. So I like to turn trials into triumphs. So when I see something bad happen in my business, I say, how can we have a triumph out of this? How can we make this a win-win for people? And leaving out our heavy emotional that we throw at things can be a big problem for us. It's just, we know that things are going to happen that aren't really positive. So for every no, there's a yes around the corner. That's one of the main things we do as we first get started. We want to make sure we take a very positive attitude to what we can create. So turn your trials into triumphs. And that's why they always say, you know, celebrate when you get a no. I mean, there are people out there that constantly, you know, will teach and train on celebrating your no's. Again, because you're that much closer to a yes, but it's a way for us to overcome any negative emotion that we might be having around it. Number 11, authenticity. Critical. It's true that imitation is one of the greatest forms of flattery, but not when it comes to leadership. And every great leader in my life, from Mike Tomlin to Olympic ski coach Scott Rawls, led from a place of authenticity. Learn from others, read autobiographies of your favorite leaders, pick up skills along the way, but never lose your authentic voice, opinions, and ultimately how you make decisions. It's a great quote. And what is it basically saying for all of us? It's saying, be real. That is why we work so hard on ourselves, right? That's why self-development is so crucial, because some of us, because of things that have happened in our life, we have things that have blocked our minds, our thinking, our ability to relate to people, our openness, our honesty. We have competing commitments, so we don't even know what direction we're going in. We have, subconscious, you know, belief systems that were established for us as children that still we're hanging on to without even perhaps even acknowledging it. There's a lot of stuff. That's why I like to work so much in mindset mastery, because I believe what's between your ears is what holds you back. It's what's in our head. And you don't even know what's there. It's stored deep down. Unless you do some digging, you're going to stay stuck. You're going to stay in that personality that you have, or that you know, anxiousness, or that abruptness, or the poor listening skills, or whatever, because that's just what you were accosted with as a child growing up, and that's all you know. So when it's all you know, guess what you become? All you know. So we dig, so that we can dig at those things out, so that we can feel totally free to be authentic. We don't have to worry about what comes out of our mouth, because we know that we know we have the depth of understanding of who we are, and we've worked on ourselves to be the best we can be. And trust me, it never ends. That's why I'm such an avid reader, and I still go to self-development seminars, because I always like to be in the growth mode. As I tell people, what? You're either green and growing, or you are ripe and rotting. Yes, Lydia just finished that sentence for me. Okay, authenticity. So, and do not expect others to take action that you will not do yourself. That's inauthentic. So in other words, if you're starting a brand new person, you want them to talk to 10 new people this week, you ought to be doing the same thing. Ready, willing, and doing the same thing that you're instructing others to do. So don't be a fraud, because you're going to be a horrible teacher, and they'll see through it, and you won't create results. So you're just going to be proof that the system you're advocating doesn't work, because you're not doing it yourself. You're proving. Number 12, open-mindedness. One of the biggest myths is that good business leaders are great visionaries with dogged determination to stick to their goals no matter what. It's nonsense. The truth is, leaders need to keep an open mind. while being flexible and adjust if necessary. When in the startup phase of a company, planning is highly overrated and goals are not static. Your commitment should be to invest, develop, and maintain great relationships. Amen to that. That's definitely our commitment in Manatech is to what? Invest, develop, and maintain great relationships. And our goals, are they static? No. In fact, we make adjustments to our goals as we go along. The first 3 months of the year, you look back at your goals you made, hopefully in December in my goal training class, right, that we did. You set some goals for yourself. You want to look back and you want to make adjustments. Because if you fall really far behind the first 3 months because of X, Y, Z, or whatever might have happened, you don't want to beat up on yourself. Beating up on yourself every day doesn't solve anything. Just make a recommitment, and you might do a little tweak of them and say, okay, enough already. This is what I'm committed. But make sure you get committed to them. What's blocking you is what. If you don't knock the blocks out of the way, it doesn't matter how committed you are to your goals. They aren't going to happen. So the know-it-alls in the world never truly get anywhere. It's those that come from what I call the beginner's mind. That's open-mindedness. Beginner's mind. Sit back today and go, I know nothing about Manatech. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do my best to grow an awesome business and be an Achievers Club and win the Costa Rica trip and be at Manifest, and I'm going to make this the best year of my life. Wow. That's exciting. I get excited when I just tell you guys that this will be the best year of your life. So let's go make it happen. That's being open-minded. 13, decisiveness. In high school and college, to pick up extra cash, I would often referee recreational basketball games. The mentor who taught me how to officiate gave his refs one important piece of advice that translates well into the professional world. Make the call fast, make the call loud, and don't look back. In marginal situations, a decisively made wrong call will often lead to better long-term results and a stronger team than a wishy-washy decision that turns out to be right. I find that to be absolutely so. So stand true to yourself. Be committed and to take action and be decisive. People go, they don't want to be wrong. You know, the fear of being wrong, that really is such a huge fear in people's lives. And the idea, I'd rather be wrong and make progress than not do anything at all, right? So I'm more willing to step out. If I make a mistake, you know what? What a blessing, because I just learned another lesson on how it doesn't work. So now I've eliminated one more option. So commit to take action. Do it. Say what you will do and do what you say. Waffling will never serve you nor those who are following you. Mistakes are awesome times to grow and come to a greater understanding again of things that will not work. So never waffle. Just be committed. Be decisive. Number 14, personableness. And this is all about serving first. We all provide something unique to this world, and we can all smell when someone isn't being real. The more you focus on genuine connections with people and look for ways to help them, notice, help them, rather than just focus on what you can get from them, the more likable and personable you become. And that's what you want to do, especially in a network marketing business. This isn't required to be a great leader, but it is to be a respected leader, which can make all the difference in your business. Amen to that. Because people will follow you if they feel your heart, if you really are focusing on what you can do for them instead of what they can do for you. So the important thing is to stand up tall and just say, what can I do for you? I probably finish every one of my team calls with, let us know what we can do for you. We're here to be a support to you. You have any three-way calls, need some special training, need this, need that, let us know. We're here to be a part of that and support you. That's our line every single time we close off any kind of team meeting. So it's about giving more than you get. Always be building up others, connecting, and in this industry, as in any employee relationship, as you pour more into your people, they will be more committed to you and to your victories as well. And your victory is what? What's my victory in my business? When I help and support somebody and watch them grow into being the great leaders they can be. Because they all have the potential. It's just about making a choice and just sticking out through the thick and the thin. All these characteristics we're talking about today, critical. Empowerment. Many of my leadership philosophies were learned as an athlete. My most successful teams didn't always have the most talent, but did have teammates with the right combination of skills, strengths, and a common trust in each other. To build an overachieving team, you need to delegate responsibility and authority. Giving away responsibilities isn't always easy, It can actually be harder to do than completing the task yourself, but with the right project selection and support, delegating can pay off in dividends. It is how you truly find people's capabilities and get the most out of them. Yay. Okay. So it's how you truly find people's capability and get the most out of them. Empowerment. It's about delegation of authority, empowering other people to be the best they can. Sometimes as leaders, we want to stand in our strength, and we want to be the one that's always, you know, gets all the accolades and blah, 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 blah. And that's the worst kind of leadership, because what you're doing is you continue to put people down and never give them a chance to climb up and be better than you. I'd rather have, you know, one associate better than me than 10 that are worse than me in my organization, right? I mean, you always want to look at, I'd rather find somebody that excels. I'd love to have platinum presidentials underneath me when I'm not a platinum. I would be hooting and hollering. I mean, that's what you want to do. You want to empower others to be the best they can be, and don't ever look at it like they might overshadow you. It's one of the problems with network marketing sometimes. You get a leader out there who goes a little wonky, and you, like, get all freaked out, and then you want to take control and blah, blah, blah. And then, why don't you just sit down with that leader and just have some conversation? Say, hey, let's do some coaching. I love what you're doing. I love what I see. I just think that if in collaboration we might be able to be the best, you know, give you some insight. You can choose to use it or not. It's their business, remember. It's your business, too, but it's their business. So empower people. Put others first. And give them the opportunity to shine. That's what we want to do, yeah. Number 16, positivity. Here's the quote they gave us. In order to achieve greatness, you must create a culture of optimism. Is that what's going on in your organization? On each one of these characteristics, you ought to be doing some self-eval. If you feel that you're doing that today, that's great. And you might want to circle ones that are most problematic for you. There will be many ups and downs, but the prevalence of positivity will keep the company going. But be warned, this requires fearlessness. You have to truly believe in making the impossible possible. Wow. Okay, so positivity. Well, there's a great saying in network marketing. What do we say in our business? We say, whenever you have complaints or irritations, you go upline. When you're positive and praises, you go downline. That's the golden rule in network marketing. So you never take negativity downline, ever, because you're just robbing them of their joy. When you talk with your downline, you talk only about the greatest things. If they want to complain about the company, you go, hey, let me see what I can do about it. You know, I know they're really packed or busy or this is going on. You don't go, oh, yeah, that's so terrible. Oh, I totally agree with you. Wah, 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 wah. Yeah, you just give them reasons to quit. They're your organization. It's your business. Think about it. So you want to make sure that when you're working with your downline, your eyes positive, and if you have negative things to say, go upline with them and let them help you resolve it, right? Yeah. So positivity, critical for us. We want to make sure that we're always creating a culture of optimism every chance we get. Anything is possible is a great motto to carry with you and have in your organization. Anything's possible. Anything's possible. Do I believe that? Absolutely. Do I believe it's possible for me to be a platinum presidential director by the end of the year? Absolutely. Am I going to work to get there? I'm going to work hard, but I didn't put that down as my goal. But I believe it's possible if I chose to give up everything else in my life and just do Manatech exclusively 12 hours a day every single day for the rest of this year. Yes, possible. But I'm not willing to do that. You know, so it's what you're willing to do as well. But anything is possible is still a great motto to have about where you are going. Choose it and then step into it to create it. You, as a leader, set the stage for others to know they, too, can accomplish much. 17, generosity. My main goal has always been to offer the best of myself. We all grow as a collective whole when I'm able to build up others and help them grow as individuals. Wow. How much of us can look at ourselves in Manatech and say that we have been offering the best of ourselves? Are we offering the best of ourselves to other people? And maybe that's what's holding you back. And you can look at that and evaluate that. It's about heart of contribution. I want to give and give and give. You can never outgive the Lord. I always have that as my number one statement. Possible. Impossible. So heart of contribution is always a winning approach. You attract others and lead them when they know you are a giver. That will be a natural attractor factor. Yeah. I the fun thing about this cruise that I was just on, I didn't know, I shouldn't say that. Of the almost 2,000 people, I probably knew, what, Lydia, would you say 20 before I got on them? Through a program I'm working on right now, stage speaking from stage and mindset mastery, and I probably knew 20 of them. It was amazing. I probably got 50 comments from people who love my joy. They love my smile. One woman even said to me, she says, "You know, Mary Jo," she says, "I want to tell you one thing I admire the most in you." And I said, "What's that?" I just met her. In fact, we're good friends now. We're emailing back and forth. She wants to know about Amertos because the conversation eventually got there, she and her partner. And she said, her name is Kim Albee, and she said to me, she goes, "The one thing I admire the most is that you still have that childish joy and you know, untempered, you know, ability to just be in the moment and exhibit this free spirit." And she says, "Most people, that's gone by the time they're 14, you know, and I go, "It's just a choice, you know." So anyway, it's just having a lot of fun and enjoying life to its fullest is just part of my direction in life. So it's good to show that. But it's a harder contribution to allow people, because when I'm in that realm, you know what, it frees up other people to behave in the same way and allow them to have that freedom. But be joyful, make a difference, attract others, lead them. When they see you as a giver and you're giving light and love and joy to people, you'll be a huge attractor factor. 18, persistence. A great leader once told me, persistence beats resistance. Persistent beats resistance. So what does that mean? It means when you come up with things that come up against you, whether it's a change in the compliment or change in a product or somebody quits in your downline or somebody passes away and you lose some volume, blah, 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 blah. You know what? Keep on persisting. It'll overcome anything. Persistence will. And after working at Facebook, Intel, and Microsoft, this is a quote from this Noah Kagan, and she says, "After working at Facebook, Intel, and Microsoft, and starting my own company, I've learned two major lessons. All great things take time, and you must persist no matter what. That's what it takes to be a leader, willingness to go beyond where others will stop." So every time you feel like you're about to stop, guess what? Go out there one more time. Take another swing at the axe. You know, don't give up. In fact, there's a saying in network marketing. What is it? It goes like this. The only ones who don't make it to the top are those that quit. You persist until you make it. There's room for everyone at the top. That's the beauty of network marketing. There isn't a limit on how many presidential directors we can have in Manatech. So why aren't you one? I don't know. There's room for you at the top. And that's not, you know, presidential now is at 40,000. There's room for you at platinum. There's no restriction on how many platinums Manatech can have. So why aren't you one? Good question. I have that on my board. Okay, 19, insightfulness. Insightfulness, it takes insight every day to be able to separate that which is really important from all the incoming fire. It's like wisdom. It can be improved with time. If you're paying attention, but it has to exist in your character, it's inherent. Right? When your insight is right, you look at like a genius. And when your insight is wrong, you look like an idiot. Right? Okay? But insightfulness is critical. Right? Insight comes from what? Insight really comes from experience. Either those of your own making or the experiences of others from which you can glean much. So put yourself in situations that stretch you and always surround yourself with those you respect, read books as well as learn from them. No one has to live 1,000 lives to gain the insight of 1,000 lives. That's the beauty. There's so much greatness out there in written books today that you can learn so, and that's, I'm an avid reader. In fact, I had like 5 books with me on the cruise. I mean, I just love to read because I gain insights every time I sit down with a book, even if it's a book I've already read before. If it was 10 years ago or 8 years ago, I'll pick it up again and read it again because it will always speak to me in a new way. But you want to have the insight. You want to have insight, and you want to get out there and experience just your life, stretch yourself with experiences, but also learn from others around you. Number 20, communication. If people aren't aware of your expectations and they fall short, it's really your fault for not expressing it to them. The people I work with are in constant communication, probably to a fault, but communication is a balancing act. You might have a specific want or need, but it's super important to treat work as a collaboration. We always want people to tell us their thoughts and ideas. That's why we have all those very talented people working with us. That's why you have your whole downline. They're very talented people. Collaborate with them. Collaborate with Crossline. We want to work together on setting goals with each other, SMART goals, with open, honest communication. No one is left guessing. And collaboration creates like a brotherhood or sisterhood of togetherness. Today we refer to it as a tribe. I mean, that's the common language. Your organization is your tribe, and you want to work with them and collaborate with them. A rope of three cords is so much stronger than one. So if you're out there, if you're a man on an island, good luck. That's hard to do in life. I'd rather have hundreds of people around me and support them and in response get support back from them. That's what helps, because you just have this incredible aggregation of intelligence and knowledge and expertise, and everybody knows what the expectation of each other is, and you work together in collaboration. So communication is critical. Number 21, accountability. Oh, people don't like that word, do they? Yes, that's one of those that people have, don't hold me accountable. Yeah. You should always hold yourself accountable. It's a lot easier to assign blame than to hold yourself accountable. But if you want to know how to do it right, learn from financial expert Larry Robbins. He wrote a genuinely humble letter to his investors about his bad judgment that caused their investments to falter. He then opened up a new fund without management and performance fees, unheard of in hedge fund world. This is a character. This is accountability. It's not only taking responsibility, it's taking the next step to make it right. So understand that. So when anything happens that you went awry, falling out with a relationship, whatever it is, what is the next step to make it right? Oh, but it's their fault. No, doesn't matter where the fault lies. Doesn't matter. Because why? Relationships are so crucial to us. So how can you help resolve the situation? Instead of coming, I was right, he was wrong, blah, blah, blah. Why don't you just reconcile? Get rid of all of that. But we have to be right. The need to be right is so strong in our society. It's horrible. It's so self-destructive. Three R's. Resistance. I forgot the middle one. The last one's revenge, which is always devastation. But, you know, we go into the three R's and then resentment. Oh, resistance. Resentment, resistance, revenge. Those are your three R's. And when you get into that, you're losing relationships. And what's the most important thing in this world? Relationships. So accountability. Be accountable. Always hold your own self to the standards you set. Whether they're totally met or not, you'll always come out ahead. Help others set goals. Hold them accountable to themselves as well. Your word is your bond. Keep it at all costs. Great. That's what I tell you. And finally, the last one is restlessness. It takes real leadership to find the strengths within each person on your team and then be willing to look outside to plug the gaps. It's best to believe that your team alone does not have all the answers, because if you believe that, it usually means you're not asking all the right questions. I look at restlessness as that we really never be satisfied. It's kind of like you can live in a state where you're complete, you feel complete. In other words, don't go out there and feel like, oh, my gosh, I'm chasing something all the time and all over and stress, right? But restlessness is always trying to be better, always trying to locate greater strengths in people, to find their greatest things that they can do, greatest things that you can do. How can you push yourself to another level? I mean, it's the exhilaration about, you know, really trying to be the best and never sitting back and going, oh, this is good enough. Never do that. Because when you do that, especially in network marketing, what happens in network marketing, you go, oh, okay, this is good enough. I'm just going to retire here. You're just going to watch your organization just gradually go down, 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 down. Because most of them can't run without you. As a great leader, you need to be participating in people's lives. It doesn't mean you have to give it 10 hours a day. Maybe it's 2 hours a day. There's some great leaders in Manitowoc that are kind of semi-retired, but their organizations are still flourishing in the North America. Because why? Because they put a few hours a day into it. They still step into being leadership. They still have that, you know, it's a restlessness in us that allows us, that causes us to continue to generate that. So it's not about not being satisfied. It's just acknowledging the fact that their opportunities are endless, and there's another 5 or 10 people right around the corner that we could connect with and get started, and are looking for an opportunity in greater health or greater wealth, or are interested in being involved in M5M and our super, super project to help, you know, serve children, all malnourished children around the world. So we just never want to become complacent, and that's what I taught. I think the opposite, restlessness is the opposite of complacency. So you can be complacent, or you be restless. In other words, always be looking, always, you know, unrelenting in our commitment to lead and our commitment to share this incredible opportunity, incredible blessing of Glyco Nutritionals, incredible M5M program with people that come in your path. Okay, people, so those are the 22 qualities. I made it through all 22. That's crazy. I didn't know how I was going to do that 1 hour, but I did accomplish it. So now what I'm just going to challenge all of you to do, this is your homework assignment if you choose to step into it. Of course, it's always a choice whether you want to grow or stay stagnant. Because there really are only two. You really don't stay stagnant. You either grow or you shrink in this world. So you can just be green and growing or ripe and rotting. I always tell people that because that's really something I learned in a self-development class. Probably came from Socrates and Plato, a little interchange between them. Because everything is deteriorating in our world. So whatever you're sitting around is deteriorating. So you can choose to be green and growing or ripe and rotting. But there is no concept of, you know, stability per se. So I'm going to challenge you to go through these 22 characteristics we talked about, 22 qualities that make a great leader. And I know through my discussion of them, some of them probably hit you in different ways. So what I want you to do is I want you to pick up on the ones that you feel, you know, you could even rate them on a A through F if you want to do that. I don't know if that bothers you because you don't like to be graded. Then do 1 through 5, 1 being I'm at the top of my game, 5 being I'm at the bottom of my game on this one. And so rank yourself and then go back on each 22 and then go back and find the ones where you're 5 that you feel like you really, this is so far away from you. And make a commitment that, you know what, those are the ones that I'm going to work on. And so on your to-do list, you have a to-be list. I always love that. I always have a beingness statement on my to-do list because I want to work on me all the time and choose these characteristics that you most need work on and put them on your to-do list, and let that stays there until you really feel like you've made progress in that one, and then you can add another one, or you can work on two at a time. My preference is you don't try to tackle too many because then you'll get nowhere with them, you know. But maybe two at a time you could do, but that's about the most. If you choose one, that's even the greatest. But anyway, dig through that, pick on those, and see which ones are most important for you to work on. And you guys have a great week. Let's go out there and break it wide open. This is the first week of a new business period, so time to get out there and share with lots of people. I'm going to make, like I said, I have like 8 or 10 follow-up calls to make today and send out information to people. And my plan is to have 5 new associates and or consumers by Friday. That's my goal. So you guys set your goals, and let's make it happen. Okay, everyone, any questions, any comments, any questions? Helpful? They are a quiet group today, Lydia.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello there. Hey, can you give us a copy of that letter that you're sending out to the new people that encourages them?
Yeah. Oh, you mean to people I just met last week?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, there's a letter.
Yes, I could probably do that. In fact, it's going to be a very similar letter to all of them because Amber Toast was the number one thing they were interested in.
All right.
If you'd like to, and here's a helpful hint for some of you guys. I didn't go there to talk about Amber Toast. People saw that I had nutrition background. They just asked me, they said, so, what, you know, your nutrition background, where did that come from? And I started discussing how I got involved in it. And I said, you know, I came across a breakthrough scientific discovery, and I was amazed. And when I researched, you know, if there was a company out there that made a glyconutrient product, that's what caused me to come across this company. And it turned out to be 30 minutes from my house, which was, to me, another God thing in the whole process. So then I talked about what's happened with the science of glycobiology. That's all I talk about. And everybody wanted to go, oh, my gosh, could that help? Could this help this? Could it help this? Could it help this? Can I get more information? How do I get more information? You know, I'm in integrative health, and maybe I need to add that. And I go, well, let me tell you, I think if you breathe today, you ought to be taking glyconutrients. It's kind of my bottom line. So if you breathe today, you ought to be swallowing glyconutrients. So I will be more than happy to share. You can tell it's an important cover letter that I'm going to be sending out, but I'd be happy to share it with you. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Thank you for a wonderful job on your 22 outlines.
22? Good. Glad you enjoyed it. Anyone else?
Yeah. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hi.
Great call today. Hey, I have a question. You know, we talked about talking to potential prospects about either the money or the product. How do you determine which one to talk about, or do you talk about both at the same time?
Great question. Here's my answer to that. I don't lead with either one. I just go out and meet people, right? So I might be standing in line at a grocery store and I might see a cute kid and I talk to a parent about something and I might bring up, you know, so something about their kids or if it's sniffling or something like that, that if I see a sick child or something like that, I'll probably go into that realm. But I tend to ask questions of the person I just meet. I'll just say, well, so what are you new in town? I haven't seen you here before. And it might be a place I've only been to once, right? But I'll just say that because it's a great way to break the ice. You know, and what do you do for a living? Your house, great, great, great. And how, you know, and I'll just have a chat. And I say, well, it's great to have you in town. I let, you know, maybe we have lunch sometime, you know? And then I'll try to set up an appointment if I have an opportunity to do that. Because I believe it's about building a relationship. So when I can get a chance and an opportunity to sit down with somebody, whether it's somebody I know from church or somebody I don't know, I'll try to have a date with. I won't just jump in and say, I got a great business opportunity. How would you like to look at it? I don't know. You're right. You don't know if they're even interested in a business opportunity. But if you go to lunch with them and you talk about their life and you ask them questions about how they're doing and how's life, and I noticed you have some children, college is coming along. Oh, yeah, Mary Jo, you can't believe it. You know, we're all looking at that. I don't know how we're going to afford it because student debt is such a crisis, da-da-da. And they'll bring – well, the minute you find them making a statement in any direction, whether it's health or wealth, because those are the two things people talk about the most – you already have your answer for you on what you want to lead with. Does that make sense? And if I get close to somebody in a conversation and neither of those two necessarily come up, well, they're gonna. When I ask a lot of questions of them about their life and what are you doing for a living? What does your spouse do for a living? You know, how long you've been in the area? And I'll just befriend them and with lots of things. And I might just offer up the idea, I could say, well, you know what, I know one topic that most people really love is nutrition, and let me tell you a story about how I got involved with nutrition, and I'll tell them a little bit about my history, and that in and of itself typically triggers them to go, oh my gosh, what? I've never heard of glyconutrients, how can I learn more? Bingo, right?
So, right, yeah.
Yeah, you get it? So when you push at people, I think it, I don't think it works very well.
I see. Okay, thank you.
Right? You're just look at yourself as this. You're like, play Sherlock Holmes. You're on a discovery path. What kind of questions can I ask a person to solicit where their pain is? If you can solve their pain in their life, you have a 99% better chance of signing them up than if you just try to target them to, you know, join the business with you. It's not going to work. You may not be interested at all. But if you can target, if you find their pain and do a discovery of what their pain is, and now you have a solution, wow, it's a whole different story. Okay? Good? Okay, so go be solution givers to people out there. You know, it's just great fun, and it's fun to be out there talking to people and getting to know people, ask them to go out to lunch, go have a cup of coffee with them, whatever it takes. But, and you know, and you can target market. Take, for instance, one of the things I did last year, I think, I talked about all the shuttering of the shopping malls. We all know shopping malls are going out of existence, right? If you don't know that, open your eyes, and, you know, you can read about it everywhere. This has been an acknowledgement for a couple of years now about how shopping malls are going out of business. Obviously, the likes of Amazon and other such entities are wiping out a lot of the stores, the malls. So when you walk through a mall today, you can, when you talk to somebody, you're buying something, you can look at them and say, how's the security of your job? Because I've noticed a lot of these shopping malls closing down and these stores and everything. You can just bring that topic up because it's common news. And they might make a comment or da-da-da-da-da, and then you can say, you know what, if you're interested, I have a great opportunity I'm sharing with people, and I'm having such a blast getting people, you know, financially, you know, sound through just, you know, working 20 hours a week or so. If you're interested in looking at it, I'd love to sit down with you and talk to you about it. Got it? You just, because you know that they're already in an environment where their job is in jeopardy. So that's a given. So you have those kind of things. Does that mean you should go to the hospitals and hang out there because you could promote, you know, nutritional supplements? No, I wouldn't do that. But we do know that retail outlets are in trouble. So we always have a great opportunity for people at retail outlets because there's a greater opportunity for them. You know. Okay, Good, good. All right, enough on that. I could do a whole, training on that alone as well. So just go out there and share. There are lots of people looking, and a lot of people could use an extra $500 a month, and I'm going to guarantee you Manatech has the best plan for an extra $500 that I've ever seen in the network marketing arena. So you can go out and do that. That AQ team is just knockdown, drag out, fab. So, all right, everyone, have a great week. We'll talk again next Monday. Bye, everyone.